interest and your attention again this evening for a short period of time. I'd like for us to turn to Ezekiel, the 7th chapter, and I'm not as concerned about the setting as I am the words that's used here. I want us to take note here. It says, moreover, the word, beginning in verse 1, chapter 7, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, also, thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, an end. The end is come upon the four corners of the land. There's something about the finality of the words, the end. We can remember reading maybe a story in a periodical paper or magazine as I was younger, and at the end it might say to be continued. And any time it said to be continued, that meant that there was more of the story that was coming. But if you read a book or an article or some whatever it might be, and when it comes down to the last page and the bottom of the page, if it says the end, then that's all the author has to say about it. That's the conclusion of the topic, of the subject. And worked with a man for a while that he thought it was great fun to go to another co-worker of his that always kept a book in his toolbox. And I don't know what kind of book it was or anything like that, but he told how he would go to, when catch this fella out on a test drive or something, he would go and take the book out of his toolbox and take a really sharp, like a box knife or something, and he would cut the last page out, just cut it right next to the spine. And the book that said the end, or the last page that said the end, he would take that and put it in his toolbox. And he said, I didn't know if the guy ever figured that out or not. He said he was always reading some kind of book, and he never heard any fuss out of him. He said, I just know that when he got down and it was like it stopped mid-sentence, there was no conclusion. There had to be a sense of disappointment, wouldn't you think? So here the writer says, there's an end. There's an end coming to the four corners of the land. He was talking specifically here to, it sounds like, to the Israelites. And Brother David said earlier that Jesus is coming. And when Jesus comes, we know that there's a conclusion. There's an end of a matter. And right now we have opportunity to do business with our souls and with God. And we have an opening, if you will. It's not the end. Yesterday, I said a little bit about this morning. I really needed those clamps to fix my flue on my outdoor wood furnace. And I called ahead, and it was after 4 o'clock, and the place closed at 5. And I felt like it was really going to be close. And so I called and I said, look, is there any arrangements I could make? So I said, do y'all close right at 5 o'clock sharp? I mean, is there any, would you stay for 5 minutes? That was right, basically what he said. No, we locked the doors at 5 o'clock. And I said, well, I'm going to do my best. Is there any way that I can pay for this and you set it outside or something like that? And he said, well, let me get you to someone else. But the thing I was trying to accomplish is get the end that I wanted, the end result. And we have to be concerned about the end A lot of times you start something out and we can be really excited about beginning. Some people can be real enthused about maybe a really big project, and you get started and partway through they've lost the vision of the end, so they lose interest in what's being tried to be accomplished. So here the writer said there's an end, there's a conclusion. And we, I believe, need to be prepared for the end of our temporal life. We need to have some kind of thoughts about that. Where is my life going to end, and how is my life going to end? In Daniel, the 7th chapter, we have here, the first verse says, "In the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. And then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters." So in the beginning, maybe we have a new president elected, or maybe a new governor or mayor of the city, or a new pastor or somebody come in. And in the beginning, there's always, it seems like, more enthusiasm than partway through. Maybe sometimes getting close to the end of something, someone has enthusiasm. But partway through, halfway through, or whatever we want to say, a lot of times enthusiasm is at a low. And if you read through this chapter, Daniel had some visions here that we're not going into that tonight, but he had some things that was very distressing to him and disturbing to him. In the 15th verse of the same chapter, "I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me." There are times through our life that we need to be concerned about where we're headed, and what's, how things are developing, and where ultimately the end is going to be. So going down to the last two verses of this chapter, he says, "In the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter." This is where it all concludes. Ultimately, everything is going to come into subjection to the Lord. Ultimately, that's where it's going to end. Ultimately, I have to be reconciled with God. Ultimately, I have to be prepared for an end. I have to, how do you want to end? How do we want the end? You know, I'm one of those people that I like a book to end on a happy note, on a pleasant note, a fulfilled note. I want the good guy to win if I'm reading a book that's just a story. I don't want to, but there's been authors that's wrote books that the end, one of their objectives in writing the book was that the end would be not what everybody would anticipate. The end would be something that'd be somewhat shocking, would be somewhat disturbing. And that was the intrigue. If you started the book, you didn't really know how things were going to turn out, if it was by maybe that particular author. There's others. You can start reading a book, and maybe it's somebody that has wrote a series of stories. Might be some kind of adventure story or something like that. You read a mystery story, and somebody that's wrote 258 mystery novels, and if they all have the same characters in it, guess what? Those characters are going to survive. It doesn't matter what kind of scrape they get in, we know how the end's going to be. The end is going to be that Frank and Joe are going to, they're not going to be killed. You know, they're not going to be exiled to a foreign land. They're going to survive the whatever scrape that they're in. Well, by the end of the first chapter, no matter how threatening the scene may be, we know they're not going to die in the book. Well, how do we know where we're going to end? How do we know how our life's going to end? I think it's time for us to, all of us, from time to time, to stop and take assessment. Daniel, when he got this vision, there was things that disturbed him. Is there things that disturb us as we go along? It's time, you know, it's every once in a while we need to take some inventory and take stock of where we're at. And is there distressing things going on? Is there things that might disrupt the projected end that we want? You know, fairy tales always, a lot of times they ended with, and they live happily ever after. Is that really the case? Is it always the case? You know, we got a couple young couples that's fixing to get married, and, you know, I want it to be happily ever after. I really do. But I'm going to tell you that if you don't take stock of where you are along the way, happily ever after won't necessarily be the end. It could be an unexpected end. It could be sadness. It could be heartache. So as we go along in life, it's time many times for us to take stock of where I'm at. Is this course that I'm on going to take me to the end that I want? Says, hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. You know, when there's things that trouble us, when there's things that concern us, it's time to do some serious thinking. It might be time to make some adjustments and consider, will the path that I'm on take me where I want to go? I don't remember exactly what day it was, but I had downloaded some maps, updated maps to the navigation on my personal vehicle. So we left the house and I knew where we were going, knew how to get where we were going, and I thought, well, I'll just try this. In fact, we were going to see the new little baby, and we thought that they were in Freeman Hospital over here in Joplin, so we entered in Freeman Hospital. And it told me to turn north out of my driveway, and I thought, I'm not going that way. I want to go the other way. So I went south out of my driveway, and I got down there a little ways, and it told me to turn right. I didn't want to turn right either. And I got down there a little further, it wanted me to turn right again. And I got down to the road I wanted to turn on, and it wanted to send me north. And I knew Freeman Hospital wasn't north from where I was at. And, you know, pretty soon we just canceled it, because I'm not sure where the end was going to be, all right? But I knew that way, I don't know what route it was going to take me, but I didn't want to experiment. So I just want to challenge us here to really consider the paths that we're on in life. I'd like to turn now to Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. All of these are in the 7th chapter. Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. And a lot of tidbits in this chapter. He starts out by saying in the first verse, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Why would you say something like that? You know, it's a happy day when a new baby comes into this world and they're healthy and they're well and able to eat and everything looks good and promising. That's a happy day, I'm here to tell you. But you know, the reason you would say the day of day of death is better? Is a life that's lived successful, isn't that even better than the day we got here? You think about going out into eternity and realizing this person was faithful. This person was, they were in tune with God. They had a real relationship with God. This is the reason we could say the end is better than the beginning. He goes on to say some other things, but I want to skip down to the 7th verse. He says, "Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart." Sometimes people can be deceived by gifts, but he says here in verse 8, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." Better is the end. You know, there is not a person here tonight, or anyone for that matter, anyone that I know and those that I don't know, that I wouldn't want them to have a good end. I don't like the idea of somebody wishing something bad would happen to someone else. I'm not there. I don't wish anything bad to happen to anyone, but I believe there's something better. I believe we can live in a manner to anticipate a good end. Better is the end, he says, than the beginning thereof. It's better to start out with, the end that's good is better than starting out with uncertainty. You start out on the course of marriage, and no matter how well you think you know one another, there's going to be some uncertainties along the way. But you know, when you get down to the end of life's way, and you've been faithful, and you've been true, and you still have affection for one another, that's the kind of end we're looking for. We start out to live for the Lord, there's some uncertainty. You may have some questions. They may have some things that is hard to understand. But when we get down to the end of life's way, and we've been true to our commitment to the Lord, and we haven't said, "Bah humbug," and thrown it out the window, you know, the end of that is much better than the beginning. We can have a good end. And my challenge for us here tonight is not just think about some new thing and starting some new project. I can get kind of daydreamy sometimes, maybe thinking about something new or adventuresome and all of that. But beyond that, consider the end and the type of end that we want. I want us to all have good ends for our marriage. I want us to have good ends for our occupation. I want us to have good ends for our walk with the Lord. It'd be a sad thing to start out to live for the Lord, and then down the road, things fall apart, and you lose interest in gaining that end. So I desire your prayers for myself, that the end that I set out to get, that I won't be weary in well doing, and that I will always keep in mind, what is the end? What kind of results am I looking for? What kind of results will make the end a good end? Because this verse here says, better is the end than the beginning. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.